WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Any opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not represent the thoughts or opinions of 90.7 WVUA or the University of Alabama.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 10 of Bolts of the Nation. I mean, it only seems like I started this yesterday, and we're already on 10 episodes. But this episode, I think, is pretty important. Of course, this being the podcast where we discuss all the hottest political topics and news stories over the course of a week. One of the hottest topics has been just the absolute insanity that has happened in cable news and mass media, what I kind of refer to as the mass media massacre. And the obvious ones, the one that we posted about regarding Tucker Carlson, that's going to come up later, but I want to discuss some other things first. So first off, I mean, not exactly political, but James Corden leaving Carpool Karaoke after 8 years was sort of a cherry on top of the massive news and cable news media. But speaking of news media, the first thing I want to talk about is the fact that BuzzFeed is closing its news division. Now, this has been a part of a lot of mass cuts, mass layoffs, mass media, CNN, Washington Post, NPR, NBC News, a bunch of other like mainstream media outlets have decided to do mass layoffs because they want to gain more profit. And again, a lot of the problem, I think, with mainstream and mass media right now is that everything is driven by profit motives. In that, like, the main thing that is driving media companies now isn't, you know, whether you can get good news or, you know, when do you seek the most truth. Like, I discussed this in the McCurtain County episode that I did where we discussed, like, the absolute insanity that happened in McCurtain County during that time. But, you know, the importance of media and that, and I discussed, you know, mainstream media thinks about profits first now, and these layoffs are as a result of that. And BuzzFeed closing its news division is a part of that. Closes its news division, it cuts staff, cutting another 15% of its staff across the company, which adds to the layoffs they've already done. But, you know, layoffs would go into the business contact tech administration administrative teams as well. So these companies are trying to downsize, you know, in order to increase their profits, of course. But you know, people are getting cut, and the same thing happened at Vox as well. Not Vox, but Vice Media. You know, Vice News Tonight got canceled its flagship TV program. That thing got canceled, and there was also dozens of layoffs that occurred at BuzzFeed but at Vice as well. Vice, another news source, and to see that happen, it's a continuation of the layoffs that have been happening over the months and years, but it's still sort of painful to see, you know, journalists being out of work and finding it difficult to find work and companies downsizing in order to increase their profits and whatnot. But the other thing that I want to discuss is 538. Is 538 is owned by ABC News, I'm pretty sure. It's owned by ABC, which is owned by Disney. And it has been a very turbulent time because Nate Silver, who is the head of the 538 brand, which does election modeling and political analysis, and a lot of the more politically nerd-minded people, including myself, have used 538 in the past, especially its models for House, Senate, Governor, presidential races. But Nate Silver, the head of 538, said is going to be gone from Disney, who owns ABC's own 538, yada yada yada. He expects to leave Disney when his contract is up. And his contract is reportedly up soon, according to the Hollywood Reporter. Now ABC News isn't going to kill off 538. It's expected to keep the brand name. It wants to streamline the site and make it more efficient. But apparently there are a lot of problems with the election models because that 538 does. Not only elections, but the sports models that they do. Like, you know, which team's the best chance of winning the Super Bowl, which team's the best chance of winning the Premier League titles, getting it relegated, it's the best chance of winning the Champions League, Europa League, that sort of stuff. But apparently those models are licensed to Disney. And those licenses expire in June. So you could see those models getting taken off the website, which would be a huge loss, not just to sports enthusiasts, but also to the political enthusiasts. You know, like myself, like I think a lot of people here who listen, I mean, it's a valuable resource that is lost if those licenses are allowed to expire by Disney. These election models are a big part of the reason why a lot of us, myself included, get into, you know, the weeds of election analysis. Like, having that resource out there, you know, even if, you know, the 538 model makes hilariously wrong, you know, modeling decisions, just as such like giving Joe Kent a 97% chance of winning Washington's 3rd congressional district over Representative Marie Gleason Camp Perez. That didn't exactly work, considering it failed to recognize the fact that Joe Kent's a neo-Nazi, and neo-Nazis don't typically win in Trump by 5 districts. Like, even when we mock 538 for getting for its model sometimes being terrible in specific races, it's still a very important outlet because there really isn't anything else like it. And hasn't been anything else like it for years. And so, and there's 538, you know, had layoffs it, affecting it as well. And also, this is a part of ABC News layoffs. I mean, they cut some senior executives last month. You know, this is part of larger layoffs at Disney. They want to lay off 7,000 people. By the end of this week, the Disney expects to have slashed around 4,000 jobs. So, I mean, this is very massive for 538. Potentially loss of journalism, loss of good analysis, and sort of a thing to now where people like me, amateurs like myself, and a lot of other people around the country now have to pick up the slack, whether it's on Twitter, whether we found our own Substacks, or something like that. And not having that source, 538, to build off of is going to affect a lot of us in the political world, not just those who want to write about elections or analyze elections, but also working campaigns who work for the Democratic or Republican parties. Like, we all use 538 to ground ourselves in database analysis, statistics, and facts. And if that's going to go, you know, over the summer, that's going to be a huge loss, especially because we have 3 gubernatorial elections in Louisiana and Kentucky and Mississippi that are going to be competitive. Well, I'd say competitive. Louisiana is probably not going to be competitive. It's likely to be an auto flip for the Republican Party. But Kentucky is expected to be highly competitive. Mississippi is expected to be highly competitive. And having the 538 model to base some of our analysis off of would be good. If that can't happen, then that is a huge loss for all of us. But that wasn't the major story. In fact, not even close, because we had 2 major stories break essentially within an hour of each other. It was on Monday when this happened, and it was like essentially like when I woke up to begin to start the day, the final week of classes. Then you see on Twitter that Tucker Carlson has left Fox News. With immediate effect, Fox Media puts out a statement. Tucker Carlson's left the company. We wish him well in his future endeavors. And that's that. I was speechless. And I kind of still am speechless. Because for years, in the Trump era, Tucker Carlson has been Fox News. Is the most popular cable news anchor, you know, regardless of his spreading of white nationalist conspiracy theories like the whole Great Replacement nonsense, and other things that many would consider hate speech, myself included. you cannot deny the fact Tucker Carlson has a very popular base. Like, people tuned in to cable news more, to his cable news show at the 8 p.m. hour, more than any other anchor in cable news. And so for Fox News and Fox Media to just part ways with Tucker Carlson like that, that was absolutely shocking. And then just under an hour later, Don Lemon gets fired from CNN after working 17 years for the company, and CNN fires him. Now, let's talk about Don Lemon first, before we get on to Tucker Carlson and the larger discussion I want to have with regarding his departure. Don Lemon has been accused of a lot of misogynistic actions during his tenure at CNN, according to a post from Variety. An article from Variety who said, quote, back in 2008, there were tensions between Don Lemon and Kyra Phillips, a co-anchor with CNN's Live From Weekday show. There was apparently an occasion where a producer and a supervisor had to pull Lemon off the air because of his provocative antics. And apparently, amidst this atmosphere, Don Lemon apparently disrespected Nancy Grace, one of his colleagues on air, and Soledad O'Brien during an editorial meeting attended by around 30 staffers. And apparently, he kind of got jealous with his co-anchor, Kyra Phillips, because Phillips was on assignment in Iraq. It's a high-profile gig. And he apparently tore pictures and notes on top of an inside Phillips' desk in the news pod they shared. But apparently, Don Lemon, afterwards, after Kyra Phillips returned from Iraq, sent her two threatening text messages. The first one said, quote, "Now you've crossed the line and you're going to pay for it," which visibly rattled Phillips. And she quickly enlisted CNN's higher-ups. The text was traced back to Don Lemon, and he was essentially demoted. And it was the last time it was fair to female anchor until his most recent assignment, CNN This Morning with Don Lemon, Poppy Harlow, and Caitlin Collins. Don Lemon, for his perspective, says that the incident never occurred. Which is likely BS from Don Lemon, let me be completely honest. Like you say, oh, the incident never occurred. Kurt, a spokesman from CNN, says CNN cannot corroborate the alleged events, but still. Then you go on to February 16th, and Don Lemon made comments about Nikki Haley's presidential run. Now, let me be completely clear. Nikki Haley is not going to become president, because not only is she running against Governor Ron DeSantis, who also has no chance of becoming president unless Donald Trump dies, you also having to run against a former incumbent president who is very popular with the Republican base. It's just not going to work. Nikki Haley can be a vice presidential nominee. That's a possibility, but beating Trump in a primary is not going to happen. And beating DeSantis in a primary is also kind of unlikely, let's be completely honest. But what Don Lemon said, he didn't say Nikki Haley was not a viable presidential candidate due to those reasons. He said it because Nikki Haley, quote, isn't in her prime. Nikki Haley's 51 years old. To say that women in their 50s are past their prime, is especially in politics, is not exactly the smartest idea if you don't want to be labeled a misogynist. I mean, for the love of God. Like, men in their 50s or enter politics are described as youthful, for the love of God. And you want to say that 51-year-old woman who's been governor of South Carolina, who's been a UN ambassador from the United States, and you want to tell me she's past her prime? No, that does come off as misogynistic. I'm sorry. That's just... No, he was pulled off the air for a week. And... like, just... it's just... good God almighty, Don Lemon. So yeah, it was not like for that. Nothing was done for like 2 months at least. At least openly. apparently, you know, Nancy Grace, one of the people Dahlin mocked on air, she said that Dahlin was always rude, dismissive, and really unfamiliar with the content being discussed. And a witness to the Graces said, quote, "That was beginning when he knew Dahlin was kind of volatile, didn't say good things about women." And they just, apparently, Dahlin also said that one of his co-workers who had landed the gig of hosting a high profile docuseries. Apparently Dahlin said that guy wasn't black. Apparently. Wait, what? Why? Seriously? Wait, come on, y'all. Like, Don, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, seriously, it's a long history, and apparently it's finally caught up to him. There was a theory on Twitter posted that Dahlin was fired in part because of essentially being competitive with long-shot GOP presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy, which that has not been confirmed. If Dahlin wasn't fired for all the sexist and misogynist things he said on air and in the workplace, and if instead he was fired because he decided to combat Vivek Ramaswamy's falsehoods about the Second Amendment and gun rights, then that would show a very troubling sign at CNN that, you know, from, you know, the new owner Chris Licht and everyone else, I mean, you want to transition to hard news, but it would signal that CNN's journalists would not be able to combat, you know, falsehoods said by their guest, which doesn't appear to be the case at the moment. We'll see in the fallout of Lemon's firing whether that was true, whether it was because, you know, of everything that he said in the workplace for the past 15 years. It's not been a great history with Don Lemon and the comments that he said. But the bigger thing than Don Lemon is we go back to Tucker Carlson and his firing. Why was he fired? A lot of people think that it was because of the whole Dominion thing, which I covered in last week's News Flash. It was on the Thursday, April 21st edition of Pulse of the Nation, where Dominion reached a settlement of nearly $800 million with Fox News, and a lot of people theorized that a secret part of that settlement was for Fox to let Tucker Carlson go. Because Tucker Carlson was pushing some of the whole election was stolen election narratives, along with Maria Bartiromo. I often can't pronounce Bartiromo's last name. I just have to navigate around a little bit. And other Fox News anchors that were pushing that narrative at the time when Joe Biden actually won the 2020 presidential election. There was the whole, you know, fomenting an insurrection at the Capitol thing and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And Fox News anchor statements about Dominion voting systems that apparently they were involved in the rigging of the election. Tucker Carlson was a key part of that. So a lot of people theorized that was the reason why Tucker Carlson was let go. Apparently, it came out in the last few days that apparently it was because Tucker Carlson ruffled the feathers of Rupert Murdoch, who is the owner of Fox Media. And Tucker Carlson had apparently, as a result of the Dominion case, it apparently been revealed that in text messages, Tucker Carlson said some not nice things about Rupert Murdoch. I don't think I can repeat them here. You know, along with, you know, Tucker Carlson saying that he absolutely hated Donald Trump. I mean, kind of weird to hate someone and then essentially give up your career because of your on-air love and adoration for the guy. But we move. But apparently, I think it was a conversation that, you know, Rupert Murdoch had essentially had, and you know, it seemed to get kind of combative between himself and Tucker Carlson, and with the Dominion thing going on, you know, Rupert Murdoch and a bunch of other senior Fox Media executives, like Suzanne Scott and others like that, decided on last Friday that it was time for Tucker Carlson to go. And then 3 days later, on Monday, Fox Media just fires Tucker Carlson, essentially. Like, he gets fired. And this also has something to do with another important layoff that happened at Fox of a conservative firebrand commentator Dan Bongino, a former Maryland congressional candidate, who was also let go during the course of that week. So, Tucker Carlson go. Yeah, a senior executive producer also left with Tucker Carlson. And now you had Dan Bongino also being let go because his contract wasn't being renewed, of course. They couldn't agree to terms of a contract extension. But yeah, him leaving, and then Tucker Carlson goes. Now, this also has something to do, importantly, with a discrimination lawsuit that is being filed by a former producer for Tucker Carlson by the name of Addie Grossberg, in which Tucker Carlson would be saying incredibly terrible things about women and Jewish people. It's not great for Tucker Carlson, obviously not. I mean, he's has a history of saying very controversial and borderline, if not actually racist, things on air. I mean, Abby Grossberg had been fired by Fox Media in the past last month. And this is according to the LA Times, who says this is related to a discrimination lawsuit. So there's that to do as well. And this speaks to a very large problem within Fox News and Fox Media of essentially the chickens coming home to roost. You know, you have all these lawsuits that come in as a result of you peddling lies about the 2020 election that was somehow stolen. You have potential lawsuits coming against Maria Bartiromo for her role. You have lawsuits against Addie Grossberg's lawsuits against Tucker Carlson, and you have also Smartmatic. I think it's another voting systems company. They have a lawsuit upcoming against Fox Media for this whole situation, and you're going to see the massive impacts that come from those lawsuits in the coming months and weeks to come. But now that Tucker Carlson is gone, what does this mean for Fox News itself? Well, a lot of people would just stop watching. You know, Tucker Carlson, you know, was once getting well over 3 million people watching his 8 p.m. show, and people sort of left. Like, now the viewership of the 8 p.m. hour that Tucker Carlson used to host has now been cut in half, like to around 1.4 million people. Like, this is a pretty massive loss, because if Tucker Carlson can show that he has a command over his watching audience instead of Fox News, and that is going to be very huge if Tucker Carlson either does his own thing, founds his own media company, or joins something like the Daily Wire or Breitbart, or joins One America News or Newsmax, or some of these other, you know, right wing conservative media companies, and could give them a massive break in bringing in revenue and profits. Like, Tucker Carlson would have to be signed to an ungodly contract because of the pull power that he himself has, or at least had at Fox News. But now Fox News could see some more of its audience start to break and go to more alternative conservative news channels or other mass media outlets. But that's for Fox News. What does this mean for Tucker Carlson? Because we saw with Bill O'Reilly, he was a very popular cable TV host, and then he got the can, and now no one knows that he exists. Is a similar fate going to befall Tucker Carlson? Who knows? Maybe in the age of Twitter, where a lot of people get their news online, maybe not, and he'll be an ever-present in Republican politics, you know, in the years to come. But you can't count out the potential for Tucker Carlson's popularity to flame out. It's other people come in, you know, Fox News might hire someone else who can captivate the audience again and take Tucker Carlson's audience with them in the 8 p.m. news hour. Well, I say news hour. I mean, essentially, I mean, it's a conservative bent on news, and that's putting it politely, to be very honest with myself. But, and yeah, it's a lot of uncertainty regarding Tucker Carlson's position in the modern American political landscape. A lot of uncertainty regarding Fox News' future profits, not just with Tucker Carlson leaving and his audience, you know, Fox News audience of 8 p.m. hour being heavily, heavily reduced, but also with the Dominion Smartmatic lawsuits and the other lawsuits that are going on in regards to Fox News. And how will they be able to navigate this with another presidential election cycle coming yet? Promises to be a turbulent few years at Fox News. And given the layoffs that have been happening, the high-profile firings and terminations that have been happening at cable news and mass media companies all across the nation, across the board, seems to be a very turbulent few years coming up for mass media as a whole, especially as, you know, apps like TikTok and Twitter start taking over and have started taking over, you know, the sort of, you know, news consumption of many Americans, particularly young Americans in the past few years. How these newspapers and mass media organizations respond will be very interesting to see. It'll be very interesting to see if they can capture sort of a large enough audience to be able to avoid layoffs in the future. That concludes Season 1, Episode 10 of Pulse of the Nation. We'll be doing 3 more episodes next week before we head out for the summer semester, so we're not going to go anywhere just yet, but thank you for tuning in to Season 1, Episode 10 of Pulse of the Nation.
Any opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not represent the thoughts or opinions of 90.7 WVUA or the University of Alabama.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.